If you haven't picked up on this already, it's Mother's Day. This is one of the busiest days for the phone calls. There's 122.5 million people calling their moms. There are 152 million cards sent, and $1.9 billion are spent on flowers and plants. This is also the most popular holiday to eat out. There are 2 billion moms in the world, 85.4 million moms in the US. In our country, in the 1700s, the average family had 7 to 10 kids. In the 50s, families had about 3.5 kids, and now it's down to 2 kids. We want to celebrate all the mothers today, but also be cognizant of all the people that are not moms by choice or circumstance. Many ministers take this Sunday off because Mother's Day means so many things to so many of us. Some of us are grieving not having or being with our moms today. Others about not having the mother they may have always wished for. We have Kleenex. We can no longer make assumptions about who makes a family. Some families have 2 dads or 1 mom. Some are blended. Some grandparents are parenting their kids' kids. Singles are on the rise and people are having less kids. Mothering looks different. I would like to talk about us widening our scope, the definition of what it means to mother. Most dictionaries define it in terms of biology, being female or giving birth to a child. This is incredibly narrowing and limiting. It leaves out people who adopt, women who cannot or do not want to have children, step parents, 2 dads. I could go on. Today, I'm hoping we can speak to a few of the elephants in the room and enlarge and redefine the term mothering to be a bit more inclusive. There is a lot of stigma still for women who have never had kids or not married. Anyone ever found themselves in one of these awkward conversations with anyone? Yes, Greg. So this is how it's gone for me. More often than not, a total stranger will come up to me and ask, "When are you expecting?" I will then reply, "Expecting?" I might look at my clock for a little bit and tap my foot, and I'll say, "Well, I'm expecting you to take your foot out of your mouth any minute now because I'm not pregnant." So if anybody has stories they want to share, we can talk after the service. So I have a friend from college. She had to bury her only sibling who's younger than her, and she has tried and tried and tried and tried to have her own biological kid. It's been a very painful experience for her. There are many that don't have the best relationships with their family. There are people that are estranged from their family or don't consider themselves as having family. I've never been a biological mom, but believe there are many ways to nurture each other, many ways to mother. It is something that's a part of being human, to have connections with others, to encourage and care for, to help nourish the people around us. What are the characteristics that you associate with mothering? Is it intelligence or savvy, time management, awesomeness? When I think about it, I think about all those times I've been mothered when I've really felt cared for. It's been when I have felt seen, known, appreciated, and understood. And sometimes that's come from my mom, and sometimes that's come from mothers in all different places of my life. To the moms that are out there, I want to say, forgive us. Forgive us of our ridiculous expectations of wanting you to be everything to us, to solve our problems and solve the worlds, to teach us and explain us everything, keeping us safe. We want you to keep us safe, but let us be free all at the same time. So often we forget that our moms also had a family of origin. They had relationships they had to make sense of as well. Whether you have the perfect mother or the worst mom or don't have one, we all have a vision of what we want or what that ideal parent looks like. In all of our lives, we come to a point, some of us earlier than others, it's this point, it's terrifying and freeing all at the same time. It's when we understand that our mothers or fathers or step people, they're humans. They're humans. They have flaws and stuck places and can be cranky sometimes. They have needs and talents exactly like us, and sometimes not exactly like us at all. But we discover their humanity. They cannot be everything to us. Just like the little bird in Are You My Mother, I think we are always searching for nurturing, those nurturing people in our lives. Some of us from not ever having it, and others, we might miss the people that have nurtured us in our lives or have just been in pain around wanting a relationship to have been better than it was. We want to be known and seen and heard. We're connective beings. That concept, it takes a village to raise a child, this is very true. None of us can be everything to everyone. We need different mentors to grow and stretch who we are. We are fathered and mothered and nourished in many communities we travel through in our lives. Our communities nurture us. My West Newton Church of origin mothered our entire family and loved us through a life-altering illness. This place has mothered and fathered and step-peopled many of us here. And I think I could write maybe 7 sermons just on that topic alone. My great aunt Cynthia was such an epiphany to me when I met her as a kid. She had this house in the woods of Maine, a calico cat. She made stained glass lamps, had an orchid garden in her basement, was passionate about the Red Sox, and taught herself how to cook watching Julia Child. She lost her husband and son before I knew her, but I was always so impressed with her because, in a way, she was the first single adult I knew living a satisfied life. She mothered me by showing me there were options other than getting married and having kids. When I got divorced and my parents opened their home to me while I was figuring out my next step, during this time, my dad asked me to join a community orchestra with him. It is an understatement to say that I was rusty at playing the viola. Relearning an instrument is a humbling experience. In a community orchestra, you have a spectrum of musical talent from amateur to professional. Now, my dad plays music all the time and is much better than I am, but he is also not a professional. There were many times the conductor would correct my dad's playing, and he handled it. He handled it so beautifully. He would listen to the feedback from the conductor. I was in a better spot because I wasn't the first chair, so I could kind of hide behind my dad's mistakes. But anyways, so he would just take the feedback, and my dad would try again, and he would just try to do it right every time he got feedback, and he had such a positive attitude about it. This was a very helpful thing for me to see. My dad playing his heart out, loving the music, and he just kept trying. This was a powerful reminder to me that I had to keep trying in order to not just sound like a yowling cat, but also that life goes on even if we fail in one way or another. There was power in trying and power in showing up. During that time, I was also nurtured by Jack, a humorous, heartfelt guy from Jersey. He knew the pain of grief and divorce. My parents couldn't relate. They've been married for 46 plus years. He mothered my grieving heart as a wise companion. My friend Dee, 28 years older than me, my first chosen family member, she always had a tumultuous relationship with her mom, but she is one of the first people I would point to if you ask, how do you define mothering? From the time she was young, she would always be found on the roof with her dad or in the basement, fixing things and learning how things worked. Dishes, girls' clothes, doing hair was not her prerogative. She and her mom did not connect in the way her mom wanted. She wasn't ever really accepted by her mom because she didn't like the girl things. When Dee came out as gay, her whole family had a terrible homophobic reaction with most of the interactions after that point. Dee had to find an internal mother to take care of herself. She moved to a place where she was loved for exactly who she was. And yet, when her dad fell ill, she moved halfway across the country to come back and take care of him, even though her siblings were right down the street. When her mom got dementia, she didn't hesitate to have her mom move in with her. And when she became unsafe and it went further into Alzheimer's, she had her go to a nursing home, and she went two or three times a day to visit her mom. Now, as that illness progressed, an unusual thing happened, or maybe it is actually more usual, but her mom thought she was her sister, and she thought she was her mom, and she thought she was a friend, and my friend Dee was able to have friendship with her mom for the first time and feel love and feel connected within the hardness and the challenge of being with the disorienting illness. Our children can nurture us. I've always been inspired by my niece's Chloe's connection with nature and deep compassion for people and animals. One of these times we played together, I had just finished training in Reiki and was telling her how it can help heal injuries sometimes. She had just seen The Lion King. She had us recreate the canyon scene where the good father of the jungle, Mufasa, dies in a stampede when his child is just way too young. Chloe rewrote the script, creative person that she is, and increased the healing powers of Reiki to miraculous. She took all of her stuffed animals to the living room and had each one fall into the canyon couch and then rushed them by ambulance to the Reiki clinic that restored each creature to full health. I always liked her ending better. We never want the people or creatures who have loved us and we have loved, who have nurtured our spirits, known us, to get hurt or to leave. Let us be thankful for the spirit of nurturing wherever and in whoever we find it. May we honor those who have taken care of us with support or enthusiasm, listening or teaching, kindness, advice. Sometimes it's food. Sometimes it's humor. Let us celebrate the villages that have raised us, the many communities and the people that have shaped us. I recently heard an unusual definition of superhero, and I thought it also served appropriate to our expanding meaning of mothering. I also apply it to what I think is an important trait to have as a good leader. A superhero's greatest power. A superhero's greatest power is not found in taking out or taking over another. Their greatest power resides in inspiring and activating the people around them to know their own powers, their own gifts, and to know how to use them wisely. Let us be there for one another with the great spirit of nurturing. Amen, and may it be so.